Good evening. My name's Tim. I'm one of the leaders here at the church. Welcome again. Let me add my welcome to the one you've already received. And we've sort of heard some of the story of Christmas that's been recorded by one of the gospel writers, Luke. And one of the big questions that comes is, well, why? Why is all these miracles taking place? Why are these miracle children, John and then ultimately Jesus being born? What's, you know, why is there all this activity from God? And Zechariah, the father of John, who we read about at the beginning in the first reading, he tells us why that is. And we're going to hear why now. And we've got some international readings. It was great to pray for the nations, but one of the wonderful things about living in this city is the nations come here. So if you're doing an international reading, would you just come forward now? And we're going to hear in different languages why God is at work. Do come forward if you're doing a reading. And we're going to have the same reading in different languages. You can try and guess the language. And perhaps, Daniel, you can begin. And it's Luke 1, 78 and 79. And I'll give you a microphone so people can hear. This is Filipino.
I'm reading in Tagalog version, the primary language in the Philippines. Luke chapter 1, verses 78-79. In Tagalog is Lucas, capítulo 1, versículo 78 hanggang 79. Dahil sa magiliw na habag na aming Diyos, ang pagbubukang liwayway buhat sa kaitaasan ay dadalaw sa atin upang liwanagan ang nangangalugmok sa kadiliman at sa lilim ng kamatayan, upang itumpak ang ating mga paa sa daan ng kapayapaan.
Thank you, Tressa.
I'm doing Chinese, Cantonese, Luke chapter 1, verse 78 and 79. 路加福音第一章78节同79节。 因我们神怜悯的心肠，叫清晨的日光从高天临到我们，要照亮在黑暗中死荫里的人，把我们的脚引到平安的路上。
And this is in French. Afin de donner à son peuple la connaissance du salut par le pardon de ses péchés grâce aux entrailles de la miséricorde de notre Dieu et en vertu de laquelle le soleil levant nous a visités dans nous pour éclairer ceux qui sont assis dans les ténèbres et dans l'ombre de la mort, pour diriger nos pas dans le chemin de la paix.
The same reading is in Arabic language. 78 and 79. بأحشاء رحمة إلهنا التي بها افتقدنا المشرق من العلاء ليضيء على الجالسين في الظلمة وظلال الموت لكي يهدي أقدامنا في طريق السلام. آمين.
Thank you very much. We show appreciation to you. I expect you were wondering what the translation is now, aren't you? Shall we hear the English translation? Why? Why is all this stuff happening? This is why. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Let's just pray, shall we? Father, we've heard those words now in a number of different languages. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand them, that we would know the truth that they speak of. I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I just want to take a few minutes now to help us reflect a little bit on Advent as we approach Christmas. And I particularly want us to think about this question: what should I do for Christmas? Most of you will know that the word Advent means coming. And when something's coming, it creates expectation, doesn't it? Such was the expectation of my 5-year-old son, Joseph, at the beginning of November, that he started asking, right at the beginning of November, when is Advent? Not just when is Christmas, when's Advent? When can I start opening my Advent calendar? And so he started asking, how many sleeps? That's how he measures. Number of sleeps. That gives him an idea. How many sleeps until I can open the first door? And so it's like 30. 20 next day. How many sleeps? 29. You know, next day, how many sleeps? Without fail, 28. And he's learning to count backwards. And do you know, for Joseph, it's been a long countdown to Christmas. But not nearly as long as the first Christmas. The first Advent. Because the context of that first Christmas is a 400-year countdown. In fact, it's longer than that. Because since the beginning of human history, there's been this promise of a rescuer to come. And people have been waiting and waiting. And at the time of that first Advent, there's been 400 years of just silence from heaven. Before that, there'd been time and time again, God had spoken through different people, but now there's silence. And so 2,000 years ago, there's actually very little expectation that God is going to show up. You know, some had even stopped counting down. It had been so long. Perhaps it wasn't going to happen. And that's the context as we're going to watch a clip from the Nativity film that picks up the story that we heard of in the first reading. It's a story of one of the priests, Zechariah, going about his duty and not expecting much. But suddenly, unexpectedly, God shows up.
Lachazoth v'no'am ad Hashem ulbaker v'hi cholo. אחת שאלתי מאת עד השם. שבתי בבית עד השם.
אחת שאלתי מאת עד השם.
לחזות בנועם עד השם. ולבקר בהי חולו. אחת שאלתי מאת עד השם.
Your wife will bear you a son. You will call him John.
My wife is too old to bear a child.
And he will be the prophet of the Most High, for he will make ready a people prepared for the Lord.
I am an old man.
You will be struck down and not be able to speak, because you believest not my words.
Elizabeth!
What's wrong, Zechariah?
He has seen a vision. A vision from God.
It's a great film. I recommend you watch it this Christmas. Zechariah, he wasn't expecting God to show up. Maybe some of us are in that same position tonight, this Advent, not expecting God to show up. And my prayer is that God would surprise you tonight. You know, God spoke through Zechariah sometime after this encounter in a temple, and we've just heard some of his words read in those different languages. And I just want to pick up for a few minutes on one phrase he uses, having encountered him for himself, this God. He says this: the tender mercy of our God. The tender mercy of our God. And that phrase reveals a huge amount about God. Firstly, it reveals how God feels about you and I. I wonder if you ever thought about that question. How does God feel about us? Advent. Something's coming. If something's coming, you can have a number of different responses. Imagine you've got a gift coming through the post to you this Christmas time. Perhaps wondering whether it's going to arrive at all, judging by the post lately. I wonder how you'd respond. You might be excited by it. You might be suspicious about it. You might be unsure. You may be indifferent. It depends on what it is, doesn't it? And what it is depends on what? It depends on who is sending it. You know, as a child, I used to look forward to some gifts more than others. And it very much depended on who was sending or giving the gift. So when I opened my sister's present at Christmas, to be honest, I had very little expectation. Why? Well, because she didn't have very much money. And I'm not sure she liked me very much, actually. But I don't blame her. I wasn't a very likable little brother at that time. I didn't have a lot of expectations. Changed now. Whereas with my parents, I had quite a big expectation. Because I knew they had a bit more money. And they could afford to buy me something quite nice. And actually, they were quite generous. So my expectations were much bigger. It depended on who was giving the gift. And one of the big questions people have of God is, well, who is he and what is he like? Is he generous or is he mean? Is he really powerful and able to do anything or is he weak? And does he really like me anyway? Does he care? Zechariah speaks of the tender mercy of God, and it's a fascinating phrase. You know, when you and I are trying to express something that we feel very strongly, we might preface it with words something like, I'm saying this from my heart, yeah? We say, I don't know if you ever said that. And if we mean something really strongly, we say, well, I'm saying this from the bottom of my heart. You know, and if we actually feel something really, really strongly, it's kind of like in this pit of our stomach, isn't it? And it's like the stronger the feeling, the lower down it goes in the body. And it's interesting because this word literally means the bowels. It speaks of a deep inward affection. I wonder, have you ever loved someone so much that you've kind of just felt it in the pit of your stomach? It's kind of moved you, the amount you feel towards them. Perhaps you felt that with a spouse or a child, a family member, a friend. Something happens within you. What I've noticed in my life is that that feeling most frequently occurs in response to a need. So let me give you an example. My son, Joseph, that I mentioned at the beginning, last month, he had a nasty accident, fell over, banged his head at home, split it open, blood everywhere, ambulance called. I wasn't at home, I was here, and I rushed home, got there, thankfully after the ambulance, but before they left, if you know what I mean. And there was my son, Joseph, on the floor. There was literally blood everywhere. And the feeling I had in my stomach, as I thought, oh, I love you so much. I saw him in his need. And amazingly, Zechariah says that that is how God feels about you and I. That he loves us so much that it kind of, it's this deep inward feeling. It's a huge amazing thing. God looks at you and I and he is moved to the core. He's moved because he loves us and because he sees our need. Well, what's our need? Well, I think our need is pretty obvious. Just turn on the news, read a newspaper, take a look around your life, the lives of those around you. This is what I observe when I look around this world and around life. I see a distinct lack of peace. We've sung quite a lot, haven't we, about peace in these carols. God bringing peace. I wonder, do you recognize a lack of peace in this world? A lack of peace between people. Lack of peace with our environment. Lack of peace even with ourselves. Always dissatisfied, always wanting more. And the Bible says that this lack of peace that we experience on so many different levels is actually as a result of something, that there's a cause. And the cause is this. The cause of this lack of peace is actually a lack of peace between us and God. And this God responds. He doesn't just see our need and kind of feel bad for us. He sees it and he's moved to action. Sometimes, I don't know if you ever watch those charity appeals on TV, and it moves us, and perhaps we do a little. But to be honest, it usually is a little. But that's not the case with God. This phrase speaks of the tender mercy of our God. It's a very personal expression. This God wants to give us something to help us in our need. So finally, what does he want to give us? How does God demonstrate his tender mercy? Well, the following verses kind of give us a hint of what this mercy is all about. It says he's doing all this because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. There's this wonderful picture here of Jesus being like the sun that's rising. You know, God is not happy to kind of stand at a distance. He comes in. Comes into our situation. And this one who comes, this Jesus, is compared to the sun. You know, that comparison isn't accidental. You know, when the sun rises, it brings light and warmth and life. You know, we've had a really gloomy autumn, haven't we? And in the past few days, the sun has come out, hasn't it? I don't know if anyone noticed the sun. And it is wonderful, isn't it? You feel it. There's still warmth in the sun, I noticed yesterday when it came out. And it's just brilliant. When the sun comes out, it makes all the difference. And you know, when the sun, S-O-N, the Son of God comes, he makes all the difference in the world. He brings light. He brings life to us. He comes to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death and to guide us into peace. Do you want to know the way to peace this Christmas? Well, Jesus is the key. And the reason he's the key is because he doesn't stand at a distance, but he comes to us. Comes to us from heaven, as these verses say. But he doesn't visit in a way you'd expect a king to visit. This God comes as a helpless baby. You know, kings don't visit in this way. They might visit their subjects and kind of have a walk around, shake a few hands, you know, do a walk around a town, have a few people for a banquet. But they wouldn't dream of taking upon themselves their subjects' poverty, their sickness, their sorrow. But that's what this king does. This king, Jesus, comes in, enters into our world, and takes on all of this stuff. He grows up like you and I have to grow up. He has difficulties and troubles like you and I have difficulties and troubles. But then at the end of his life, he endures this darkness and this death in which people like you and I are trapped in. He dies on a cross for us. And 3 days after that, he rises to new life, showing that he's actually one who has the power, the authority to meet our deepest and greatest need. Why does he do all this? Why? Well, it's to do with bringing us to a place of peace. The Bible says that the mess that's in the world is ultimately down to our actions. You and I living in a way, not just in conflict with others, but living in a way that actually is in conflict with God himself. We're living in darkness and in the shadow of death. But God's response isn't to come and just get angry and wipe us all out. His response is to visit and bring a gift of rescue. That gift is himself. You know, we have a very safe and sanitized view of Advent and Christmas, don't we? You know, we have the neat little picture on the card and it just looks so safe and cozy. And the first Advent, the first Christmas, was not safe and sanitized. Jesus enters a messy world in a very messy way to save messy people, to bring us into a place of peace, to bring us back into the relationship with God that we've been made for. The tender mercy of God means that he doesn't treat us as we deserve, but provides forgiveness for us through the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. And it's not like a reluctant gift. You know, it's not like a God who's saying, well, I'll let you off. Okay, I'm going to forgive you. He feels it at the bottom of his heart, in his stomach. This is how much he loves to forgive. It's right. If you want to know what God loves most of all, this is one of them. He loves to forgive guilty people walking in darkness, people like you and me. You don't need to twist God's arm this Christmas to show you mercy. He longs to do it. He's provided all that is necessary for you and I to have forgiveness, to have a relationship with him. So this Christmas, in response to the question, what should I do this Christmas? I want to encourage you to accept the amazing gift of God's tender mercy found in Jesus Christ. Receive forgiveness. Receive peace. And you can do that by praying a simple prayer from your heart. A prayer that you really mean, that comes from inside. Let's pray together, shall we? It's simply a prayer that says, sorry, please, and thank you. You can echo this quietly in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for those things in my life that cause conflict instead of peace. I'm sorry for my selfishness, for my greed, and for the many things that displease you. Thank you that you sent Jesus to die in my place, that I could be forgiven and set free and know peace. Please come into my life by the power of your Holy Spirit, I ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen.